Let me just say this.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I want to see Aaron Rodgers walking out.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I want to see two handoffs, one bubble screen,
and a sling,
and a deep throw.
Rodgers under center, drops back, lobs one, front left pylon. It is caught. Garrett Wilson.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky, Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin. Still to come, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Welcome to hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show. We're live on the air on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey. There's just so many platforms, we lose track. You can check us out for free on the Roku channel. I'm wearing a very light blue, baby blue type shirt today. I've decided to do one button. Should I just keep going?
What are the pants you're wearing?
Yeah,
they look flowy.
You know what? I'm going for comfort.
Are they joggers?
I don't know what they are, okay. But they're fashionable.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm not saying that.
That's no, it's good. I'm glad you mentioned that because I just want people to know there is a lower half. I sit on TV so much. I hated standing. I hate standing on TV. They do it
like
on ESPN.
Standing?
I don't like the standing.
Like the
stand? It's ridiculous.
You walk and talk, though, for a halftime.
Let me ask you a question.
Great.
I said this to the producers over and over and over again. They want you standing. You're standing there because you're holding your scripts and you're standing. I'm standing and I'm having a conversation. Let me ask you a question. Standing or sitting? How would you rather have a conversation? Standing or sitting?
Where are we?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter?
Standing.
It doesn't matter. It's like those polls, just like you're going to vote Democratic or Republican in the Congress. It's not like for who or whatever. It's just it's just yay or nay. Standing, sitting. What
standing.
Do you got?
Probably sitting.
You want to stand and talk?
I like standing because I sit on my ass all day.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
I'm saying if you're out at a bar, you're standing.
You're standing, but don't you? When you're in a bar
day.
Standing, don't you? And a seat opens at the bar, don't you take it?
I always sit.
Right.
No, I like standing.
Or are you leaning
I'm
against the wall?
What a lunatic.
Because look at what I
he
do
talks
for my
to
job.
Uber driver.
What a lunatic. I talk.
He sits in the front seat.
I sit
talking all day, too.
Well, I have 5 stars.
I sit all day talking, too. And I do like to explore the studio space when I'm off camera, but to prove that I have a lower half. But when it comes to it.
No, I want to get out of it. I would mix standing
TJ,
up if I could.
Break the tie.
All right, give me the question again.
Oh, my God.
Conversation, standing, sitting.
You really want to stand and have a conversation?
It depends on where we're at. And like,
do you want to go to a game sitting or have a standing room only?
I would do the show like this all day.
I agree with...
Okay.
Are
you wearing a tank top and a gold chain? Like, what are we doing?
No, but... that's right. That's good.
Rick, good McAfee reference.
There are times where I've thought about standing up for like even an hour just so I'm not sitting the whole time.
I totally would stand up.
Overall sitting.
Let me ask you. If we looked... Hold on a second. This is what I even said to one of our producers back in the day when he had us all stand. He had us all stand because CNN was standing. CNN was standing, so we had to stand. Okay? And so we had to stand because CNN was standing.
We all got to stand?
No.
I'm just trying to get you're the trying feel to, for
okay.
it. See, I'm kind of tall.
Right. So, so we had to all stand. And so we would have like 320-pound linemen who were our analysts like swaying back and forth.
That's right.
And they're like, can we give this man a chair? Please, like, I'm uncomfortable watching him stand. I'm uncomfortable hosting, watching him stand.
Right.
How do you think people at home feel? And so it looks great. It looks great. There's action. You know, it's what I was told. It was action. I'm like, what do you mean action?
action.
We're not looking for action. You're looking for conversation, the opinion of the analyst. That's what the action is. What, you're going to listen to it more because somebody's standing?
Yeah,
honestly,
I'd
say look
it's
it up. Look
point.
It up. Technically, is standing technically a torture position? Like, would it be in a court of, like, international law?
Geneva Conference.
Yes.
The thing is, like, on Survivor,
is that standing?
On Survivor,
it's
they
torture.
Do challenges where you just stand there.
That's why I'm sitting. You understand?
But it's the same thing I say about using a hand mic or having... a lavalier mic on.
Actually, it's nothing like that.
Yes,
what is
you
that?
Can. You talk with your hands. It's better. It looks better on
of
TV.
Of course. No, I know
I
that.
Hate when
oh,
people
I don't
hold
like,
my
yeah,
mic.
Yeah, yeah.
That drives me nuts. But that sounds better for me.
I understand that.
And it's way...
I trust me.
But
I'm
I
sitting,
hate it.
I'm hands-free. and I'm ass free. So like this is what I want to do the show. Okay. See, how do we get on this? Oh, by the way, thank you for the compliment on my pants.
Yeah, yes. Your pants.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. This is
bring it all full circle. All right. Oh my God. Let's talk Trey Lance, which rhymes with pants. Let's talk Trey Lance. We talked about it from the Cowboys' perspective earlier. Let's talk about the 49ers' perspective. All we're hearing is it's the worst draft trade ever. When it's because it and every all the reports make it sound worse. They gave up 3 firsts for him. No, they gave up 2 firsts for him. They just swapped spots in order to move from 12 to 3. They coughed up 2 firsts and I think a third or something like that.
I'll get it.
And of course, the Dolphins, what makes it worse, the players that the Dolphins turned this into.
Yes, that makes it worse. That makes it
so they
worse.
Choose Jalen Waddle with the pick because they remember they moved from 3 down to 12 and then from 12 up to 6 the Eagles flipped down, right, and then eventually moved up or something like that, right? They moved up to get Jalen Waddle, so they used some of the draft capital to go get Jalen Waddle. They used some of the draft capital to get Tyreek Hill and Bradley Chubb.
I mean, yes,
it makes it worse.
It makes it worse.
When the Dolphins use the draft capital to cash in, and then the Niners go and get Trey Lance, and Trey Lance winds up starting a grand total of 4 games for them. 4 games for them. It is a very low amount. How low is it? Trey Lance started 2 fewer games for the 49ers than Trent Dilfer, Brian Hoyer did. Troy Smith started 6 games for them.
Brian Hoyer was on the 49ers?
Yes, he started 6 games for them.
What?
Trey Lance started 1 more game for the 49ers than Steve Stenstrom started for him. I mean, you compare him to Nick Mullins, and he's not even close. He's a factor of Nick Mullins. Nick started 16 games for him. He's a factor of C.J. Beathard, 12 games for him. You could do math. You could teach math. Divide Trey Lance into C.J. Beathard starts, and you come up with the number 3, which is the number that Steve Stenstrom started. Blaine Gabbert started 13 for this team. And then here's this stat. This is from NFL Network Research. Trey Lance is 8 games with the 49ers. 8 games. Fewest games played by a top 5 pick, quarterback or otherwise, with the team he made his debut with in the common draft era. Going back to 1985, which is as far back as NFL Network research could do when I asked over the weekend. One team gives up 2 or more first-round picks for the rights to draft a quarterback. In that span, since 1985, Lance's 4 starts are the fewest for the team that traded for him. 2 first-rounders. You want to include the third? Sure. 4 starts. It's kind of terrible. Now then, did they miss on him? They were ready to start him last year. At this point last year, Trey Lance was the starter come heck or high water, and they were going to go into that season with the ups and the downs. And if Lance was going to falter, that's why they turned to Jimmy Garoppolo, because they sure as heck weren't going to go into the season with Brock Purdy backing him up. And I'll tell you what if Brock Purdy had come in week 2? Do you think it would have been like Tom Brady trotting in week 2, turning into Brock Purdy? Could have been different. Might have been ready. Did the next 2 months that Purdy got to sit and watch? We'll never know if those months actually helped. And Lance, in his first season, follows through and hits a helmet. In his final preseason game, hurts his finger. He's not the same guy in that year also. And his final season prior to the draft, COVID,
played one game.
Yeah. But that said, it's a results-oriented business, and this is what Kyle Shanahan had to say after Trey Lance and all the draft choices they used to go get him, and not Justin Fields and not Mac Jones, who are definitely going to be starters for the teams that drafted them in a couple Sundays. This is what he had to say about Lance being flipped for a 4 to Dallas.
I always feel like I let Trey down. I mean, I wanted him to come here. I believe in Trey. I believed in him before we took him, and I'm responsible for that. I didn't want to throw him into the heat of battle right away, but I thought he needed to play. So we tried to figure out every way to do that. I mean, if I can look back in hindsight, he broke that finger on a helmet on that fourth preseason game versus the Raiders. I wish I didn't put him in a play that had him break his finger, because I think that really hurt him in his first year. And not only did it hurt him not getting able to mix in much, but it hurt him in the practice time because he had to adjust how he threw and things like that, which I think set him back for a second year. When we went into the second year, we gave him every chance to do it. We were going to make an offense that, to me, gave him the best chance to be successful at that time, which we did do. And when you do that, you hope a guy can stay healthy so he can stay out there long enough. But that didn't last long. It was the first game. And after that, I mean, I always felt for him. And we continue to work with him. But sometimes things just don't work out.
Sometimes things just don't work out. That's for a fact. So do you throw Lance in the category of worst draft trade ever?
You kind of have to. Kind of have to. It's unfortunate. Injury is a part of the game. Bad luck is a part of the game.
Here's what I would say. We need to see how Lance performs from here on out. We need to see if he does get what he deserves, which is an opportunity to start in this league and get the reps before he starts in that league. I don't think he's getting it in Dallas. So for him to say, basically, I want out of here, send me to a spot where I'll just be standing with my helmet. It's just a different helmet, and that'll make me feel better. I don't know.
Report? He wanted a chance to be the number two somewhere.
So maybe he's going to get that chance. I hope he does. When he came on the show and he's just like, I earn nothing just by my draft status. I'm going to go earn it on the practice field, and I'll be straight up. Darnold earned it more. That's a fact. That's a fact. And is that Shanahan's fault? He says he's taking responsibility, then I'll take him at his word. He deserves that responsibility that the kid couldn't, with the opportunities that he did have briefly, stay healthy. And then after that, you know what? I would equate Trey Lance in another regard. I'll throw him in with like Drew Bledsoe. What do I mean by that?
Yeah, Rich, what do you mean by that?
He gets hurt, another kid comes in, and that's all she wrote. That's all she wrote. Doesn't matter you took him to a Super Bowl. Doesn't matter you making $100 million. It's over. Brady was the guy. End of story. I'm not saying Purdy's going to wind up being Brady, but Purdy showed last year he can be the guy. Now, do you say, okay, Trey Lance, we're going to give him this opportunity again? Because, man, that was a bad break on the cart. Mm-hmm. Man, he deserves a better shot than this first year he broke his finger on the helmet. Man, we're going to give him a shot because he was the third overall pick in the draft, and my job is on the line, and I got to prove out for this kid. We're going to start him. I don't care how Purdy finished up last year. You don't lose your job due to injury in this league. Nuh-uh. And I'll just say this, too. Part of the reason why the Niners are allowed to have this leeway with their coach, or the reason why the coach has this leeway with the Niners is a better way to put it, and general manager has this leeway with the Niners, two things. One, the owner loves them, and the owner allows them this leeway. Take your shot. Take your risk. If it doesn't work out, let me see how the rest of it works out. Well, back-to-back NFC Championship game appearances also removed from a Super Bowl not too long ago. Rest of the team's ready to roll. So you're going to tell your coach and your general manager this better work out with Brock Purdy? I think they get that sense of it. And if it doesn't work out with Purdy, you're going to go with Sam Darnold, who's another third overall selection, who's had a lot of football gods nard kicking since he got drafted. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of the return that the Dolphins got and turned into players, and in terms of the, you can't even call it diminishing returns, there was hardly any return that they got for Lance. It's pretty bad. But you look at the rest of this roster and how it is built and ready to win now, and Brock Purdy, they also drafted and developed him too. You know, it's not like he just dropped out of the sky from another team and they lucked into him. I mean, they were lucky to just say, we'll take him here. Last pick in the draft. Why not? Let's take a flyer. Because he could have just signed as a free agent somewhere else and had them enjoy the fruits of his labor. He might not even have gotten a chance in that other team. He could be just sitting back, which is another reason why Lance should just take a breath and say, my time will come. Because it came for Purdy. Let's just say if Purdy didn't get drafted by the Niners, he became an undrafted free agent and he signed somewhere. Do you think he might be playing somewhere? What if he signed as an undrafted free agent with the Chargers, who liked him and just needed to have him around? You know?
Nope.
You know, Easton Stick might need to have his head on a swivel. I'm just saying, like, yeah. Again, it's just the vagaries of the NFL. Some get their opportunities, some don't. And some get them late in life and become comeback player of the year because of it, like Geno Smith. So
that's, I got my opportunity late in life.
This is why I'm showing everyone there's more to it than just, that's the worst trade ever. These guys need to be thrown to the wolves for it. Now, if Brock Purdy turns into just, you know, the average Joe instead of Joe Montana, second coming, then we might have this conversation a little bit more. And Sam Darnold. Certainly if Mac Jones starts killing it and Justin Fields does what he's doing. But there's a reason why the Niners give this leeway to Shanahan and Lynch. Is there a trophy in the case from it? No. Well, it's tough sometimes. I think more teams than not are going to learn to be playing in the Mahomes era, which is what we are living in right now.
It's not easy to win the Super Bowl.
Right. And in between, it was the Brady era in the NFC.
Yep.
So they're placing their bet on Purdy. And Lance, they just did not have confidence in anymore to go for it right now and have him there as the third kid. And he didn't want to be there anymore, it seems. And hopefully he gets his opportunity. I don't know if it's going to be in Dallas. But at least he's in a different spot, which has got to feel good for him, I imagine. And for the Niners, they're putting their bet on Brock Purdy and Sam Darnold as opposed to Lance and Garoppolo. Is that an upgrade? We'll find out. Week one, Steelers. Let's go. TJ Watt coming for Brock Purdy back in the state of Pennsylvania, hoping to emerge in one piece and with a win. Can't wait. What a storyline entering the season. We'll take a break. Phone calls. I've got a top five list from top five performances of the final preseason week. But when we come back, talk about the Jets and Aaron Rodgers and what I saw over the weekend. I've been holding back for 2.5 hours for crying out loud. We're back. Phone lines are all lit. We have our work cut out for us over the next 39 minutes.
Yeah.
Till we sign off on the Roku channel.
Win-loss game.
A lot of people want to play the win-loss games.
A lot of win-loss games. We got Bucks, Niners, Raiders.
Okay. I know where we're going to go first. Have we decided who there's somebody's name I can't
dark
see.
Dark Side. Yeah, we can't
just,
get.
Just Dark Side.
Dark Side.
Of the Moon?
Good album.
You're Raider fans.
Great album.
Could be.
Really good album.
Great album. You know, apparently the rumor is if you start Dark Side of the Moon with Wizard of Oz.
I've done it.
On the second roar.
Actually done it. Yeah.
Is that what it is? Of the MGM line?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you done it?
No, I've just heard it's.
I did.
Yeah, it's a famous
you
thing.
You did it.
I've heard of
yes.
it.
Yes.
Was it enhanced?
You must have enhancements while you're watching, and it just makes it even
you're
better.
Talking about surround sound, right?
Yes. Like, it was full.
You're talking about it like a HD TV 4K?
Yes.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Enhancements.
4K, all right.
Poppy, but it is great.
Poppies will put you to sleep, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey. I'm here all week trying to be. No, it's.
Dark Side Don.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that who that is?
Full name, yeah.
There we go. So Adam is listening to the show. Confirmed. We're getting Adam's got a full day right here.
Oh, Adam's been busy.
We're six wide right now.
He wants to call in and do the Bears.
Well, he's not going to call in. We'll put him right out here in the chair,
right? We should put him
out
here.
It's funnier to have him call from the back.
Oh, jeez.
Because I look at
that's
Adam
pretty harsh.
I look at Adam like Charlie from Charlie's Angels.
Yeah,
we don't want is that right? Should we put him on a speakerphone then?
Yes, I'll put a speaker
right here,
right there. Hello, Angels.
Bosley? You're saying he's Bosley?
Bosley. Well, we've seen Bosley. No, Bosley, we've never seen Charlie.
Charlie, that's right.
Because it was us.
It was the voice of John Forsythe, right?
Yep.
A Falcon Crest fame, right?
And then I think in the movie, look at us.
Oh, I forget.
Somebody big did it in the movie, too.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Phone lines are lit. Let's take some. What do you think?
Let's do it. Where are we going?
You know where we're going.
Where are we going? I know we're going.
Dark Side Don, Las Vegas, Nevada. Nice. What's up, Dark Side Don?
What's good? How you doing?
I am doing fine. I have a feeling I know what you... Oh, perfect. Just play the music. Here we go. The Autumn Wind is a pirate, and Dark Side...
Rich.
What do you got?
I said, I'm here to save you.
Okay, here we go. Dark Side Don is going to play the win-loss game for the Las Vegas Raiders. All right, here we go. Dark Side Don at Denver to start the season.
Win.
At the Buffalo Bills.
Loss.
Home for the Steelers.
Win.
2-1 at the Chargers.
Loss.
Oh, that's a home game for you. Okay.
Yeah, but we haven't been looking good in L.A. the last couple of years.
All right. 2-2. Home Monday Night Football. Raiders, Packers.
Win.
3-2 against the Patriots. McDaniels v. Belichick.
Win.
4-2 at the Bears.
We don't do good on the East Coast. Loss.
Well, it's, you know, the middle of the country, but I understand what you're saying. All right. 4-3, Dark Side Don. At the Lions.
Loss.
You're at 500 now, taking on the Giants at home.
Win.
5-4 against Aaron Rodgers and the Jets on Sunday Night Football.
Loss.
5-5 at the Dolphins.
At the Dolphins, we don't do good in Miami. Loss.
5-6 against the Chiefs.
It's our first time. Is it at the Chiefs? You said
no, you're home for the Chiefs.
We lose that one.
5-7 into the bye. Could you imagine? All right, let's finish up strong. Home for the Vikings.
Win.
6-7 against the Chargers at home on Thursday Night Football.
Win.
At the Chiefs on a Monday night.
Win.
Oh, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And is that what I got? 8-7 at the Colts.
Win.
9-7 home for the Broncos.
Win.
A five-game win streak.
Oh, to end the year.
Oh, yeah. They find the wind at their pirate ship sails in their bye week.
Wow.
All right, Dark Side Don. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
10-7 from Dark Side Don.
I like that.
In Vegas.
That's really
Is that reasonable?
Yeah, right?
Raiders played a lot of close games last year. They were unlucky a few times.
They blew the doors off of teams in the first half, and they just couldn't.
They were gifted a win by New England. It smells like 8-9 to me.
Oh, that's right.
The dumbest play in the history of the NFL last year.
Right. Chandler Jones not getting an interception this time.
And now Jacoby Myers plays for the Raiders.
Indeed he does. Okay. 5-game win streak. What if the Raiders are 5-7 going into the bye? I don't know if they find a wind at their sails, do they? How about that? Let's talk about the New York Jets, shall we? Look, I said I was going to watch a horror movie on Saturday night instead of watching the game.
And?
I lied. I turned on NFL Network right on time.
Of course you did.
Actually, I soaked myself in at some of the pregame chatter on my net. Sitting at home, just watching Aaron Rodgers warm up on the field.
It looks so weird.
It's so weird, but it's in command. You could see he was just like barking at people, and you could read in lips, he's dropping F-bombs. And then he strolled out, and the Jets got the ball second. He comes out on the field, and I did put my hand over my eyes. I just couldn't see it. And you know what he did? God bless you, Nathaniel Hackett. And quick pass. Boom, boom, boom. He flew one right out to Garrett Wilson. And then, you know, a penalty by his guy, Randall Cobb, a crackback block, blew up the first drive, as did, by the way, Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah.
The Giants.
Just got there.
I'm telling you, Wink Martindale sees Isaiah Simmons like, you know what you're not is a safety. You know what you are? You are a pass-rushing linebacker. Go hunt. Yeah. I think the Giants are going to have a nice time with him. Top 10 pick. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had Trey Lance, top 5 pick, and Isaiah Simmons, top 10 pick, basically sent packing by their teams for a bag of donuts out of the NFC West and into their new digs. But I digress. Second drive, great field position. And Rodgers, he did sail one over the head of his tight end. And he was barking at the tight end as if tight end made the mistake. But Rodgers found Garrett Wilson over and over again. Targeted him 3 times, 3 catches, 30 yards. The 30 yards accounting for the lion's share of Rodgers' 47 pass yards, 5 of 8, and a touchdown that I don't think Zach Wilson can throw if you gave him 10 times to throw it. And I know that's particularly, like, I shouldn't slag on the kid to praise the quarterback of the Jets.
Yeah, but it was such a veteran throw.
It's one of those things that we have all seen as Jets fans, Aaron Rodgers do with another 17, Davante Adams, where I look at you, you look at me, and whoever is guarding you knows he is toast. It's over. It is over because you, Garrett Wilson, my new number 17, are incredibly talented. You know what to do. And me, Aaron Rodgers, the new number 8, know exactly where to throw it. And I will throw it over and over and over again. And you know who's going to stop it? Nobody. When I saw that, I'm like, oh my gosh. I immediately FaceTimed my brother and my nephew, Lee, Rich Eisen show intern, immediately FaceTimed. And when they popped on, we just laughed. We just started laughing. Like, this is happening. This is happening. And I know it's a preseason. I get it. But it's just seeing him and knowing the command is there. Is he going to make mistakes? Of course he's going to make mistakes. He is human. But is he going to have more command at the position than I'm used to seeing? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And him and Garrett Wilson are going to be a problem for a lot of people. And we didn't even see Dalvin Cook or Breece Hall. This was Aaron Rodgers after the game talking about getting out there, which he wanted to do. And I didn't want to see it because I was nervous. And at one point, he was running for his life to the right, and he got rid of it. But my gosh, I'm like, please just get up and make sure that calf is fine. All
being chased by Isaiah Simmons.
I had a moment.
I told you the first thing I saw you this morning was I thought about you in that play.
Thank you.
And I was wondering.
I appreciate
what you were
thinking of me because it really was me on the line, not Aaron.
Of course.
Here's Rodgers after the game.
Yeah, I had some butterflies for sure. I think that's always normal. First time I strap it on, it's kind of the standard, whether I'm in year one playing San Diego Chargers or year 19, you know, preseason number 4. There's always some butterflies when you step out there for the first time. But I loosened up pretty good when I got the ovation when I took the field. That was a special moment just to, you know, have that kind of support taking the field for that TV timeout. That was pretty special.
And those were Giants fans, by the way. I'm sure Jets fans came in. It was a Giants home game for the Snoopy Bowl where the Jets eventually won because they did have a pick 6 on top of it, which took away a possession potentially from Rodgers, but it didn't matter anymore. We saw what we needed to see. And part of that was the offensive line. We all know that's the issue. We all know that's the issue. He knows it. We know it. The American people know it. We all know it. That if he's not protected, all of this stuff I just said about him with Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's a wrap. In the NFL, you got to protect your guy. And he knows that better than anyone else. This is what he had to say about Mekhi Becton, a once upon a time first round draft choice, top of the top half of the NFL draft choice for the Jets, who, like Zach Wilson, wasn't proven out. Got hurt, was overweight, lots of question about his commitment and all of that stuff. He's supposed to be the left tackle, he's supposed to be this generation's DeBrickashaw Ferguson for the Jets. Put him there, and that's it. That's a wrap. You're good for a long time. And then that didn't happen. Of course, he got hurt, you know, right off the bat. It's another reason why Sam Darnold didn't work out, too.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I have the timing right on that. Or was that the Jets' first game with Becton against Carolina? I'm trying to – Sam Darnold's name kind of rings true there, but be that as it may, the Jets need Becton to work out at right tackle. And he was named the right tackle starter for the season after this game by Robert Saleh, and Rodgers had this to say about it.
I told him I love him. I mean, he's come a long way. I'm really proud of him as much as anybody on the team. The way that Mekhi has grown this month has been really spectacular. And I don't know if you guys get the chance to talk to him a whole lot, but I just feel like his head's in a really good spot. And he feels like he's a part of it. He's been playing well. I'm not sure, you know, what the film's going to show, but it felt like out there that he protected well. He's a mountain of a man. He leads us on the field. It's like, you know, old school battles where you send your biggest guy out first, and there's Mekhi, you know, leading us on the field. It's pretty cool. But it is amazing to see when you empower people, when you encourage people, when you wrap your arms around people, you see the personality start to come out. You see the confidence start to grow. And I think that's what we've tried to do with Mekhi, and make him feel like he's a part of this and make him feel important. And he's returned that love and trust and support with a lot of really good play.
Man, I'm just telling you, the way he's taken ownership of this team. So many guys come in, it's just, you know, it's my new spot. I'm just, you know, the new guy around here, and I'm just seeing how everything goes. He's taken, you see it on Hard Knocks, he is taking it to say, Zach Wilson, let me show you. I'll take the pressure off you. Pressure's now officially removed. You just chill out. And if you somehow have to come in, you'll be better because I'm here to help you. You've seen it. He even said, I think we led this show with it 1 week ago today, him telling the local CBS affiliate, oh, I'm going to play a few years and I'll hand it off to Zach for 15, you know? And I'm like, okay. I got it. Let's just focus on 2023 first. But this is, he's taking on this role of being, you know, he's not just the quarterback of the Jets. Is he the shaman of the Jets? Is that what's happening right now?
It makes sense.
You know, like he's.
That's his team. He's the face of the franchise, right, and he's been there a few weeks.
That's it. And so if he's going to show up and everyone else is going to be better around him because of it, and Becton turns out to be an offensive lineman for the Jets for the ages, or just significant for the Jets, that's more than I bargained for. I just wanted him to show up and just not be Zach, you know? And the fixing Zach would be the cherry on top. The removal of Zach was something that had to happen, and you see it in Hard Knocks, and it's hard to say out loud because you're talking about another human being, but that's a fact. The Jets could not start Zach Wilson this year. Period. End of story. And if Rodgers wasn't coming, that's when I was like, you should go out and get Lamar. You got to, whatever you can, because you're not going to get him in the draft. You're not starting from scratch. The owner of the Jets wasn't going to do that and say, go ahead and do that. Joe was basically saying, Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas are not on the Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch plan, where you miss on the guy before Lance, everything's fine. I don't think that was it. Rodgers is there to save everybody. Calling him a savior would be accurate. A shaman. That's what he's showing up at. I don't know what the beads are around his neck. I mean,
looked like Paul Rudd and forgetting Sarah Marshall.
It's great. Awesome. Let's go surfing. Let's go surfing. Whatever it is, I just want it working. That's great. Whatever is happening with him in between his temples, and he's passing that along, and he's paying it forward, and he's talking about love, and everyone can thrive in love, and it's great. And let's all love and thrive together. Two Monday nights from now, we'll start. Oh, my God. So, That's the latest there.
You know, Rich, earlier you said something about you didn't want to slag on Zach because he couldn't have made that pass to Wilson.
No, he could. But
you're right, bro. It's not just him. There's 15 quarterbacks in the NFL that couldn't make that throw. Aaron Rodgers does things that no one else can do. So it's not just Zach. That pass was
incredible. No one has ever mastered the back shoulder kind of no look over the defensive back's helmet.
Like him.
Like Rodgers
like
has.
Many quarterbacks can't make that throw.
And for him to have a talented kid like Garrett Wilson at his disposal, and then we're not even talking about the rest of them.
Like he's got a security blanket with Cobb, you know, Lazard.
Let's take a break. We'll come back, try to unload as many phone calls as we can and get to my top five list as well. What a fun Monday show this has been. Don't go anywhere. This is the Rich Eisen Show. All right, Christopher, let's check your work.
Let's do it.
What's your fantasy team like that you went to go draft?
All right, so we did a new thing this year where you can keep guys. So we're a two-player keeper every year, but this year you can do it in the round you drafted them the year before.
Okay.
So I kept A.J. Brown in the third, Kenneth Walker in the ninth.
Okay.
I had the third overall pick. I stunk last year. I took Bijan. I just went for it.
Okay.
I just wanted him, and I needed to have a top-flight quarterback, so I went Justin Herbert second.
Yeah.
And then I added George Pickens. I'm running it back with Gabe Davis and Sky Moore. I had those guys last year. A.J. Dillon, and I took, Tajay Spears, who's a Derrick Henry's
He's having a great preseason.
Who's kind of dominating
right
now.
He's the king of yards after contact.
Yeah, and Deuce Vaughn. I took a flyer on Deuce Vaughn. And then I'm going to have to drop somebody to add a kicker. I went Cowboys defense. They were number one ranked by PFF. I like them. And then just took some flyers on Tyler Boyd, you know, the third of the Bengals. That always helps. And Jonathan Mingo looks to be the number two in Carolina.
Okay. And it's a 16-team league, right?
Oh, Tyler Higbee, my tight end. 14-team.
14-team league. Go ahead and tell me what you texted me. Go ahead.
What did I text you? It was death?
No.
It was going so long?
No, you texted me a decision somebody made on a keeper.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Mahomes didn't get kept.
Can you believe that?
What? What?
Mahomes was not kept.
Well, did he have to give up a first rounder?
It would have been a first rounder for Mahomes. He ended up taking Josh Allen. But
so he flipped Mahomes for Allen?
Yes.
Wow.
And more importantly, gave somebody else the chance to get Mahomes.
Yes, Mahomes went two right before me. Mahomes went second overall because he was available.
What would you have done had he still been
there? This is the individual that did what in previous years?
The 30 minutes for Brian Hartline. And my draft took 8 hours and 35 minutes.
Yeah, I'm punching somebody.
What the hell going on?
Yeah. Back here on the program. Here we are. Let's go to the phone lines here. Here's what we're going to do here. We're going to punt my top five preseason performers our next show.
Oh, okay.
Because we got to...
We're all full. Yeah, we're six for six. Yeah.
Phone lines are lit. I'm going to take the hit. If anybody's been waiting for that, to salute. John in Arizona, we'll take your call here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing, Rich?
What's going on, John? You want to do this for the Cardinals? What do you want to do this for?
No, actually, Buccaneers.
Ah, okay.
Let's go.
All right. Here's John in Arizona for the Tampa Bay. We haven't had anybody do Tampa yet, so this is perfect.
Nice.
Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers open up against the Vikings in Minnesota. What happens?
And that one, I think it'll be one of those close games, but unfortunately, we'll take the L.
It's a loss. Home for the Bears.
We'll win.
1-1 at home Monday night against the Eagles.
Loss.
At the Saints, week four.
Saints in New Orleans, correct?
Yes. Yeah, at Saints.
It'll be close, but I think we'll take the W.
That's 2-2 into the bye. Coming out of the bye, home for the Lions.
Home for the Lions, win.
3-2 home for the Falcons.
Win.
4-2 at the Bills on a Thursday night.
Loss.
4-3 at the Texans.
Win.
5-3 home for the Titans.
Win.
6-3 at the 49ers.
Loss.
6-4 at the Colts.
Win.
7-4 for the Panthers at home.
Loss.
Oh, okay. 7-5 at the Falcons.
At Falcons, win.
Okay. 8-5 at the Packers.
Close game. Packers.
Is that a winner or a loss?
That's a loss.
Okay.
It's a loss.
8-6, home for the Jaguars.
Home for the Jaguars. We won those good games, and if that might be a surprise, we'll take it. W.
9-6, home for the Saints.
Home for the Saints, loss.
9-7 at the Panthers.
At Panthers, win.
10-7. Thank you for the call, John in Arizona. 10-7.
For the Bucs?
For the Buccaneers. John in Arizona.
I mean.
Okay.
We love them.
Perfect timing to choose who's winning the NFC South. We're predicting a division every show all the way up until next week. We've got the rest of this week to fill up our prediction sheet. This will be halfway through the league. We already did the Wests, and now we will wrap up with the South. Chris Brockman, who do you have winning the NFC South? You're first up right here.
I swear this is not a homer pick, so I have a happy home this fall, but I like the Falcons to go from worst to first and win the NFC South. Too much talent there on the offensive side of the ball. I like Arthur Smith as a head coach, and I just don't think the other teams are as talented and played as hard as it were as competitive last year as Atlanta was. No Tom Brady anymore. Rookie quarterback in Carolina. They're going to really struggle, especially if the offensive line is as bad as it's looked in the preseason. And Derek Carr is a big upgrade for the Saints. They just don't do it for me. I'm just going with the Falcons.
Falcons, Saints, Bucks, Panthers. TJ Jefferson, you're on the clock. What do you have for the NFC South?
A little different than Chris here. I got the Saints taking the division. Based simply upon what I saw Jimmy Graham do yesterday. You know, I think he's going to make... I'm just joking. But, I think Derek Carr, I like the Saints. I think Baker, as we talked about, looked great in this preseason. So I believe something that you've said constantly, Rich, that defense, still a few years away from winning the Super Bowl. They got some studs out there. I got the Falcons at 3 just because Desmond Ridder is such a question mark to me personally. And the Panthers, unfortunately, I got them in the basement.
Okay, so you go Saints, Bucks, Falcons, Panthers. Brockman went Falcons, Saints, Bucks, Panthers. Man, I think the Panthers could be better than what people are giving them credit for. I think Bryce Young with Frank Reich is gonna show up. It might take a few games, but and the Saints, I think with Derek Carr, can't guard Mike and Jimmy Graham together. Like, can this be like somebody's 2018 fantasy team? I mean,
also Chris Olave, who never gets talked about.
I know.
Ever.
Olave,
yeah,
and of course, the defense always performs better than you give them credit for.
No doubt.
You know how I feel about the Buccaneers and how Baker's going to have a better season than people think. But I have 3 words for you. Fear the stash. He's coming for you.
Now you're with me. Nice.
To put the banana in the NFC South tailpipe.
Nice.
Wreck the buffet in the NFC South club. I'm with you, Chris. I'm going to go Falcons. Just because I like the Saints defense better than most, I'll put them too. I think the Buccaneers might threaten to make the playoffs from that third spot. And the Panthers, I'm just going to put in 4th because, again, they've got a rookie quarterback with an offensive line that concerns me. But I like the Falcons. The Falcons, if Desmond Ridder has Bijan and Kyle Pitts and Drake London, that's not a bad combination. I know I just went a little higher register right here. They can put points on the board.
For
they
sure.
They got Algier as well.
Yep.
Cordarrelle Patterson, could he, if he's healthy,
go back to wide receiver?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Hey, Kyle Pitts, look, it's kind of now or never. This guy is like,
he was supposed to be the
future Hall of Famer, right. the measurables. And
4th overall.
Let's go, man.
You know what we're going to do on tomorrow's show? We're going to redraft the 2021 NFL draft. Now that, Kyle Pitts was 4th in that draft.
Yeah, could have had Fields.
Kyle Pitts has 3 career touchdowns.
Let's not, trust me, my fantasy team knows that.
And only 2 of them are in the United States, right?
Trevor Lawrence, that's right. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Kyle Pitts.
Jeez.
Then Jamar Chase. How's that for a bookend?
Does Chase go 1 in the redraft?
Well, I mean,
I know Lawrence is nice.
There's also a kid down in Dallas, Texas, who might have something to say about that.
Rich, we got breaking quarterback news.
What do we got?
If I can sneak this in real quick.
Will Greer released?
The Arizona Cardinals have released Colt McCoy.
What?
Yeah, they're just going to go with Josh Dobbs, aren't they?
Yeah, it seems like it.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Or Clayton Tune.
I'm just telling you.
Someone I've just heard of.
Let me just tell you this, guys. There's no tanking in the National Football League. There is no tanking in the NFL.
Well,
there is no tanking.
I mean, when the Cardinals,
excuse me, when the Cardinals go out on the field in Washington, D.C., in week one, Jonathan Gannon's first game as head coach of the NFL, he is not under the directive to lose this football game. He is not. He doesn't want to, nor do any of the guys. You think Buda Baker's going to go out there and tank? Seriously. James Conner? He's going to go out there and tank Zach Ertz. I can keep going on and on and on.
I mean, I understand what you're saying.
But what you do is you just keep pruning the tree until there's not many leaves left and you could see straight through. And when you see straight through this tree, potentially, when it's all said and done, you see the sunshine and the rays of Caleb Williams. And that is what I will counsel Kyler Murray about right now. If I'm Kyler Murray, I'm sitting there thinking, what is this all about? And am I going to put the Cardinals schedule on? I mean, this is my first blush thought right here. You gotta watch out, man, because if the Cardinals don't perform very well, what are you going to bring back Kyler Murray?
Well, he's out the first four guaranteed by starting the year on the PUP list.
Washington, New York, Dallas, San Francisco. If that's not 0-4,
I will be shocked.
If that's 1-3, they're in good shape, because after that, it's Cincinnati, Rams, Seattle, Baltimore, Cleveland, Atlanta. Again, sometimes you look through the prism of last year.
Where are the wins?
Exactly. So they're in places. You're going to have to find them. You're going to have to overachieve. Josh Dobbs can, by the way, if you're Trey Lance, you're like, really?
He couldn't have sent me to Arizona?
Right.
Really?
No,
like Josh Dobbs, as we all know, was the Tennessee Titans' choice in a do-or-die game last year at the end. Mm-hmm. And he's just he's a brilliant kid.
Might be the smartest guy in the league.
With a lot of talent.
Yeah, right.
And he's getting an opportunity. That's two in a row now. One for the Titans in a must-win game, and now for the Arizona Cardinals. He's getting opportunities that, the only person I think of is like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Rich,
how many chances do you get? Honestly, Trey Lance has got to be sitting there going, really? But of course, they're never going to trade him in division.
Oh, that's true.
That ain't happening. Again, that's the whole point of this whole thing.
Right.
Trey Lance is sitting there going, can I get a break? Josh Dobbs is going to get a break. And then you got to wonder, like, Kyler Murray, are you going to come back and get your brains beaten in? Or if you're the Cardinals, do you let him come back? Because if he's healthy and you get to choose Caleb Williams and trade Kyler Murray?
Yep.
That's what's called the jackpot. Or you sit there and keep Kyler Murray and trade Caleb Williams.
That ain't going to happen.
I don't know.
Rich, I understand you said tanking doesn't exist, right? But for the Cardinals to trade away a guy, Colt McCoy, or release him, Chris, that they've had for years, for a quarterback who over the last five seasons has played three seasons and eight games, that kind of sounds to me like they're
pruning the tree.
Waving the flag.
But again, there are some prideful men that are going to try and win these football games.
No doubt.
And that's what I'm saying. And maybe Colt, I don't know. This is my first blush reaction. I'm not in practice. These folks are seeing him in practice. He could be shot. And they're like, we're not going to the season with him. They'd rather see what they have in Josh Dobbs or Clayton Tune. Well, someone's going to get tuned up a lot. And it sounds like it's the Arizona Cardinals. And then Caleb Williams is on the other end of that rainbow. Like, that's the point. But they're going to try and win these games.
Maybe Caleb Williams, Rich. He might stay in
week
school.
Week one survivor pool. Everyone in the world is taking the Commanders.
I don't know what you're talking about. But I do love Jeff Probst as a host. He's excellent.
You can do
certainly when they
pools,
make
right?
people stand because you'd rather sit. That's how we wrap up this show. If you're on hold, we're going
to
take a call coming up on Roku.
Denny's better.